Hello, and welcome to Keeping Up with the Corinthians, Season 2. I'm so glad that you could be here today. I've noticed lately that a lot of people have latched onto this idea of find your strong. You know, the saying, the idea here is that you find your strong, that thing that motivates you and inspires you to achieve what it is that you want to do. You know, in this case, maybe your strong is a sense of inner confidence that you can accomplish what you're going to do. Maybe it's the feeling of contentment or satisfaction once you have done a really hard workout. Maybe it's a group of people, a community who come around you to support you. Now, those are all good and inherently valuable things. Invite Paul, the Apostle Paul, to the conversation, and he would say that there's another place, a better place, to find your strong. Paul would invite us to find our strength in weakness. That's kind of a paradox, isn't it? Let's go together to 2 Corinthians 12, and I'll show you why I say that. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul has been defending himself against people who have come into the Corinthian church and made Paul less in the Corinthian eyes. You know, these preachers have come in and told the Corinthians all about their incredible exploits and adventures and accomplishments, and all of a sudden, stodgy old Paul doesn't seem quite so impressive anymore. And so even though he doesn't want to, Paul says, okay, you want to talk about achievements? You want to talk about impressive? Well, here, let me give you some achievements. But even as he starts, he just can't quite bring himself to boast in his achievements. And so he says, verse 2, this is 12 verse 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. This man was caught up to paradise. Now, this man is Paul. He's talking about himself. Paul was called up into heaven somehow, and he there heard things that are far more wonderful than any mere man could hear. And so Paul was not allowed to share those things with people. And yet, impressive as that experience was, Paul says, that's not worth boasting in. Only my weakness is worth boasting in. Now, if you got caught up into heaven and then came back to tell all about it, I suspect you would probably want to tell everybody you know about it, right? What an impressive experience. And I think that you might just take pride in having done that, right? I know that there are a lot of people who are making that very same claim and making a lot of money right now. I went to heaven and this is what I saw. Paul says, it's nothing. If there is anything to boast about, it is only my weakness. And Paul explains why in verse 7 onwards. He says, to keep me from being conceited of these surpassingly great revelations, so obviously it's Paul who has had these great revelations of heaven, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, this is a really important moment in Paul's life. He has had these incredible visions of what heaven is like, who God is, and yet to keep him from getting conceited about it, God gave him this thorn in his flesh. Now, we don't know exactly what that thorn is. A lot of people have suggested that it might have had something to do with his eyes. It's also possible that it was a speech impediment of some sort, because Paul talks about not being that impressive a speaker in a few different places in the Bible, in his letters. Whatever it was, though, Paul asked God to take it away again and again, 3 times, he says. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, sometimes when we pray, we expect God to answer our prayers exactly the way that we ask. You know, sometimes we think that he will just get back to us and get rid of the things that we don't like, but we can't see the whole playing field, can we? Only God has that bird's eye view, and sometimes he knows that there is a better outcome than what we have prayed for. And so he doesn't give us what we ask for. Instead, he says, trust me, because my grace is enough. You know, we might want less of something, but Paul says, no, what you need is more of God. His grace is enough. And not only that, his power is made perfect in our weakness. You know, if God had taken that thorn away from Paul, maybe Paul's head would have gotten too big. Maybe Paul would have decided that he could do all these things in his own power, act as if he was the impressive one, and then all of a sudden, this incredible ministry that God had set out for Paul would have been lost. You know, if Paul was relying on his own limited strength rather than God's omnipotent power, I don't know how he would have gotten through. You know, 3 shipwrecks, 40 lashes minus 1, a day and a night at sea. That seems like something only the supernatural power of God could bring you through. And so the thorn remained as a reminder for Paul to lean on God, to trust on his omnipotent goodness, because his power works in our weakness, and he gives us grace in the meantime. And so, verse 9, Paul says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. You know, that's why Paul would say, find your strong in weakness, because it is in our weakness that we are willing to lean on God's unlimited power. You know, when we're feeling strong and proud, we feel like we can do anything, and that distances us from relying on the God who really can do everything. You know, in Paul's mind, there was no question. Anything that Paul could do, God could do infinitely better. And so it just made sense to trust in and to rely on God's strength rather than his own. And so Paul said, I will boast in weakness so that the limitless power of God can work in me. And then verse 10, he says, that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I like the way that the Living Bible puts it. They say, when I am weak, I am strong. And then they add something that brings out what's implicit in the letter that Paul wrote. The less I have, the more I depend on him. And really, that's the point of this passage. God's strength works through our weakness, and in our weakness, we depend on him. You know, the point is not weakness per se, but the willingness to rely on the God who is all the more powerful, right? Not just weakness, but really reliance. You know, we are very capable people, but as capable as we are, God is even more capabler. And so we choose to depend on him. We choose to surrender our attempts to control our circumstances to God who really can control our circumstances. And in our weakness, we are stronger. You know, I'll tell you, there are some Sunday mornings when I get to church and I just feel like I have nothing left to give. You know, I'm not satisfied with my message, or I'm sick, or a little under the weather, or about to have my appendix taken out. You know what's going through my head in those moments? In my weakness, God is stronger. His grace is enough. In my weakness, God is stronger. In those moments, I surrender my expectations, surrender my pride, and trust that God is going to do far better with what I give than what I, at the height of my power, could accomplish. God's strength works through our weakness when we depend on him. So wherever you are in life right now, whatever it is that you are going through, I want you to know this. In your weakness, God is stronger. That is a truth to plant deep in your soul and let it bloom into wholehearted faith. In your weakness, God is stronger. So find your strong in weakness by relying on God. Let's pray. Lord, it seems a little counterintuitive to think that weakness is strength. In our culture, we value strength. We build it up and make it impressive. And yet, Lord, this is one of those times when you flip culture's expectations on its head. The last shall be first, the first shall be last, the weak shall be strong. And it's not just weakness. It is really weakness that is willing to depend on you. So Lord, help us in our weakness to depend on you. Help us to let go and let God help us to trust ourselves to you. Lord, we know that you have made us to be capable and responsible people, and so we want to faithfully do our part. But we pray that you would help us to do that, not relying on our own abilities and strength and ingenuity, but on your limitless power. Lord, in my weakness, would you be stronger? And may your kingdom come and may your will be done through me and through us as a church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, thanks for being here today. So glad to have this time with you. And until I see you again, let me say, stay safe, trust in God, and remember prayer and precaution, not panic.